Rabbi Russell. Mm-hmm. We began discussing last time how the primary responsibility of the Messiah Kedushin is to make a determination in advance of the wedding that the couple is permitted to marry each other. And we focused last time on the issue of Birur Yadut, of establishing the Jewishness of a respective chassan and kala. Just thinking that the reality is that it's probably much more likely that anyone in this room, even if you're not going into Rabbanis, is going to end up being Messiah Kedushin at some point in your life. Probably more likely that you'll be asking Messiah Kedushin than get a Shaila Namara or have to build an Eruv. So even if you're not going to be in the rabbinate professionally, somehow inevitably, just about every rabbi at some point in his life is in a situation where he's requested to be Messiah Kedushin. So these are things that you need to be sensitive to. Some of the variants that may come up in terms of Birur Yadot or establishing Jewishness or believing that someone's Jewish include people who represent that they're from the B'nai Anusim, from people of descent from what are colloquially referred to as Muranos, people who were expelled from Spain or subject to the Inquisition, etc., etc. So you have these people who are surfacing after 500 years who claim that they're of B'nai Anusim descent, they're really Jewish, but it's highly impossible for them to actually prove it. So you have these people who claim that there are certain Jewish traditions in the family, but the most of the families have been living in Christian countries and assimilated into Christianity, even if there are these Jewish practices are preserved. So it's very, very difficult to establish actual Jewishness. In most situations of that sort, we would expect at least a gir l'chumra to ensure their Jewish status. Just met with someone a couple weeks ago, claim that they're from the B'nai Anusim, and the person who is now living an observant lifestyle, and claimed that the family had some significant Jewish traditions, and even produced the actual key that the family kept from their house in Spain that they were expelled from. So he represented that this is a 500-plus-year-old key that is remained in the family from the time of Spain. But you can't really prove what door the key opens, and you can't prove that his that everything is clean on the maternal line going all the way back to the key. And then he produced some fragments of exuber from the 1860s. Then again, there's no way of proving that the exuber had anything to do with him or his maternal line. So fascinating stories, but exceedingly difficult to prove yadut. So that's something that comes up every now and then. Some are of the opinion that maybe you could count them for certain things, but in here, l'chumra is generally in order. The other thing that could come up is people who are of Karait descent, Karayim. So that's Ramah in the end of Siman Dalet, the very end of Siman Dalet. HaKarayim asu l'skatim mem, yinat l'tim ayah Karayim. Who are the Karayim? So the Karayim were a certain group that did not accept Torah Sheba'al Peh, whose origins were somewhere in the late first millennium of the Common Era. Don't have time to go through the whole history, but the major Karaite communities developed both in Russia and in Egypt. So at the time of the Rambam in Egypt, there were a lot of Karaim around. There was a major population center of the Karaim, and as we've noted in the past, there were certain polemics that the Rambam had against the Karaim. So the Rambam paskins, HaKarayim asu l'skatim, v'hem k'amarei Karaim, v'kulam heim safik mamzerim. V'eim ha'kabim l'samim rosim l'asur. So even if they want to come back, there's safik mamzerim. If you look at the Piskei Tshuva here, in the end of Siman Dalet, in Piskei Tshuva Sif Chatem Memeh, you'll find that there are other opinions in Achronim. There are basically three possibilities about the Quran. Either if their Kiddushin were good Kiddushin, and the Gittin were good Gittin, so then they're Jewish, and we don't have to worry about Mamzeros. And apparently the tradition was that they didn't do geirus in the Karaite community, so you didn't have to worry about non-halachic geirus. Just came across a couple of months ago, there's a Karaite community in California. They're both they're conservative Karaites, both at the capital C and the lowercase c. The capital C, they apparently have mixed seating. But they also celebrate Hanukkah or things like that, so I'm not sure how that all works. But apparently they also do Geirus. So someone sent me a conversion certificate from the Karaite community of Northern California. Don't know. But so one possibility is that the Gittin are good, the Kiddushin are good Kiddushin, the Gittin are good Gittin. Another possibility is the Kiddushin aren't good Kiddushin. So then, even if the Gittin aren't good Gittin, then you're also okay. The biggest problem is if the Kiddushin are good Kiddushin, the Gittin aren't good Gittin, then you have Chashash Mamzeris. Lemaisa in Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanut is pretty makel about Karaim, who are closer to Shuvah, so to speak, and want to become part of the Rabbanite community in their language. And over the years, every now and then, I get a call about a Karaite who wants to get married, and inevitably there's never any follow-up, so I've never actually had to paskin on a Karaite. Yeah.
Wait, so I'm a little so if there, basically, is one who says that there's something from Zerim.
Right.
So then how could there be any...
Now there are more quotes that there is Safi Bamzeris, but some of the other earlier Akronim argue. So there are, it's a Radvaz. That's part of the discussion about the Ethiopians based on this Radvaz, and that whole literature as to whether the Ethiopians need a gear of any sort.
Okay. But like, we're not, considering Bamzeris is like very serious, we're not.
Right, so we're going to talk about Bamzeris in a few minutes in its own context, but that the Lamaisinos certainly tend to be Megal about Karaim. When it comes up, Rabbi Baruch Oberlander had a two-part series in the Ori Yisrael a few years ago. I think he just spoke in Revel a few weeks ago, which is a pretty good analysis of the literature about the status of Karaim. Okay. The next question that we need to address is general heter lakal issues in a situation where there may be a hashash of mamzeris. What does mamzeris mean? So we pass in that mamzeris or mamzer is a product of a union where there's no tfisas kedushin, right? 3 days in Tanoim. And, so we pass in that it's a product of a union where there's chayvei krisos, where there's no tfisas kedushin. So if you look in Siman Dalid, if you gimel, ezu mamzer tabab me'achas b'kol arayis, b'emi chayvei misos, b'emi chayvei krisos, so any arayas that where there's no tfisas kedushin, that relationship is going to create mamzeris. And the most common case is an ishes ish. So as we said, one of the questions you need to ask in advance of a senior kedushin is whether there are any divorces back in the family. The parents and the grandparents, and the reason you ask that question is you have to ascertain that the person coming to get married isn't the product of a second marriage where the first marriage was halachically valid but was not dissolved in a halachically valid fashion. So if the kedushin was a halachically valid kedushin, then there's no halachically valid get, and then there's a second marriage and the child is a product of a second marriage, that raises a, could potentially raise a serious shiloh. If they say there was a get, so you have to look at the documentation to make sure that that get was also done properly. Usually you might not be able to evaluate that on your own, so you have to ask someone who knows about such things. Ask the best and whether the get's a good get. The conservative movement also has misandry get it. So you have to make sure it's an Orthodox get. Generation or two ago, there were a couple rabbis who were affiliated with the conservative movement who were themselves shomer mitzvahs and knew what they were doing and used kasher edim, so that that's something that would need to be investigated if it comes up. Avi?
But there's not as a, if there's a conservative rabbi who's officiating, is it an automatic assumption that it wasn't done correctly? Or you have
at a get?
Or a kiddushin?
The fact that a conservative rabbi officiates at a kedushin doesn't mean that they're not allowed to get married. That's not a right that they are.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, do we assume that because if it wasn't a valid kedushin, there was no?
You can't assume one way or another. It doesn't mean that the fact that a conservative rabbi is inside a kedushin doesn't mean it's no good. It just is no proof that it is good. You have to do your independent investigation. So what do you do if you come across such a case where the child is a product of a second marriage and the first marriage was dissolved without a get? So first, you have to see what was the status of the first marriage itself. Does a civil marriage or a marriage performed by non-halachic clergymen constitute a halachic marriage that would necessitate a get? So in America, that's known as a machlokus between Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin. Shechter always points out when he talks about that, it's not Rav Moshe against Rav Henkin, it's the whole world against Rav Henkin, or the whole world against the Rav Chavrin Rav Henkin. But it goes back to the Rishonim. Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin were not the first people to talk about this. So if you look in each of these topics is a series of shir by their own right, so we're just going to very briefly mention a few more makomos and have to go on. But there is a Shuvas HaRivash of note. Shuvas HaRivash is in Siman Vav, who was asked about a woman who came from the lands of Spain, where there were Anusim, and she married someone who was involved in the church, and then she wasn't able to obtain a get. So what was the status of that initial marriage, which was not performed in a halachically valid fashion? So that goes back to Rambam, which really goes back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah gives in that pay aleph. That's the din of Megarish as Ishta Valani of the Pundaki. There's yichud after the get. They still says he didn't know the get. Why? Where it says hein hein eidi yichud hein hein eidi bia. So the fact that two people living together in a marital setting, hein hein eidi yichud hein hein eidi bia, and that creates a de facto kedushin. The Rama writes hilchas gerushin perek yud halacha yutes. Hilchas gerushin perek yud halacha yutes. Maybe that doesn't always apply. Damage is talking about a grusha. What about stam, two people who are in the siyafi together? Talking about a case where you already married her and then you divorced her, now you're in the same hotel room again. But you don't necessarily say by any random person, so the Yuvash writes in that tshuva, even if you hold like the Shita Sagonim that argues on the Rav, the right approach over there, and you say, Gestam, L'shem Kiddushin Baal. That's talking about people who are living a Jewish lifestyle. So then you assume that it's intended Kedat Moshe Bissal. But if people are living B'darche Ovdei Chachavim, so that's not B'Torah's Gittin V'Kiddushin, and you don't view the person as married. And what's more, the woman's not keeping tires on Mishpacha. So she's not worried about the Isser Kares of Nida. So why are we assuming that she's going to be worried about the Isser of Penuya and assume that the Bia was the Shem Kedusha? So Rivash says, if they're not living, they're living a life of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, then you don't assume Enan Lemosa Bilasa Bilas Nus, and it would not be necessary to procure a get. This is reflected in the Ramah, Evan Ezer, Simen Kavav Seif Aleph. Evan Ezer, Simen Kavav Seif Aleph, Hilchas Kedushin, Bechei Mumer, Shinasa Mumeres, Avodas Kochav, and Bini Musayan. So you have a Mumer and a Mumeres that get married in a church ceremony. Then Niskayu Acherka, and then Niskayu doesn't mean they're Megayu, they're already Jewish, it means that they're Chosim Bechuba. Ein Kan Chashash Kedushin Klaal. So a wedding performed in a church, there's no ein other must be less of less nus, so there's no need for a get. They're living together for years. So you don't say ein other must be less of less nus by a wedding performed in the church. So Rav Henkin had the argument in a series of pieces that he wrote, most of which are printed in the Kol Kisvei Rav Henkin, that there's a certain universal notion of kedushin, of marriage, and a presumption that people are living together as husband and wife, even if it's only a civil marriage, so they're doing so l'shem marriage, and that's of halachic validity, and would require a get mikra din. And Rav Moshe and others are of the opinion that lichachila, rechoshesh for such a position, lichachila get should be procured, but if it's impossible to procure a get, and the marriage is only done civilly, so then push comes to shove, you could be mad to the woman to remarry without a get. So for example, Igros Moshe, Evan Ezra Chalik Aleph, Simin Ayin Hey, Evan Ezra Chalik Aleph, Simin Ayin Hey. So the story was, a woman who was married only the Arkaos, and they lived together for 2 months in a place where there are no Jews. Because if there are Jews there, or from Jews, that may make it worse, because the from Jews see these people live together with husband and wife. That may create some kind of hein hein edu from hein hein edibia. And then they were separated for a few years, and then the husband came back, and they had nothing to do with from Jews, and they're back and forth, together, separated. And then they ended up in a Jewish neighborhood for a little while. But most of the time they're living together, it wasn't in a Jewish neighborhood. And it's impossible for her to procure a get. So Rav Moshe writes that by Mufkarim Labro Kol Yisrei Torah, the people who are totally not observant, are not living a frum lifestyle, they know again Kinachrim, and they conduct themselves like any non-Jew on the street. Vadle Mufkarim Lisrei Nus, Chokol Arayas. So you don't have to assume that ain adam osa bilasa bi'ilas nuf, because they're not living in that mindset, they're not part of that society where there's such a value, and the ikar adin, you don't require a get. So the makam igun, where it's impossible to procure a get, you're allowed to let them remarry without a get. He acknowledges that Rav Hankin wrote, but Rav Hankin is difficult to resolve in light of the Rivash. So Lamaisa, Rav Moshe says, it's better to try to procure a get, but if it's impossible, she's allowed to remarry without a get. Okay. What about Shalom?
Rav Hankin was saying that the Metzius is different than the time of the Rivash.
Rav Hankin has to be dochic in the Rivash. It's not really clear how you would... meaning, if you could distinguish in theory between a... other religious ceremony and a civil ceremony, that's not really Rav Hankin. Rav Hankin acknowledges, Rav Hankin's argument is based on a certain presumption of how marriage works, but he acknowledges that in communist Russia, things were different. Rav Hankin was from communist Russia, pre and post, pre-communist and communist. So Rav Hankin acknowledges that in Russia, they have a different conception of marriage. You don't have the same, it's just you go to the commissar and they sign something, and there's no real significance to the institution of marriage. So by Russians, Rav Hankin acknowledges that they're, even he would have been there, you don't need to get married there. What about marriages performed by non-Orthodox clergymen? So Moshe has a tshuva, a number of tshuvas, but one of them is Evan Ezra Chelik Aleph Simen Ayin Vav. Evan Ezra Chelik Aleph Simen Ayin Vav. A woman got married with a Reform rabbi, and all the people who were present at the wedding were Rishayim of Karm Lechal Shabbos, Lavra Kol Mitzvah Satara. You have to have some talent to violate every Mitzvah Satara. Vasu the high sami barsa nevelos trefos, the kul and achlo, everyone ate the nevelos trefos. Vata achrei abor yisus man, so the husband disappears and you can't get a get. So are you allowed to be matir here on the basis of the lack of kedushin kedin Torah? So he writes that kedushin performed by a reformed rabbi is meaningless as long as there are no edim cherim that saw the nesina satabas. And the statement of Hare on the Kedushasli. As we know, this is a series of shiur about the Masada Kedusha, but we know that the Masada Kedusha is not indispensable. As long as a person gives a woman a tabas in front of to aid him, that's valid Kedusha, even if there's no Masada Kedusha. So the Reform Rabbi is command less than Dami, but what difference does it make if it's a Reform officiant, if Lamaisa, there are two Shomer Shabbos Edim who see the Nasiris at Tabas? So pretend the Reform Rabbi is not there, but they're still married halachically. So if it was a marriage performed by a Reform Rabbi, and there's no one from there, Mariah, everyone's eating the Nevelos and Trefos, so then that's not a halachically valid Kedushin Ikar Adin. And Ikar Adin, if you can't procure a get, then he can remarry with that one. Even if there are two Edom Sherim who are standing at a distance. But they didn't see anything, so then that's also not a good condition. There's a famous Chuvas Chasam Sofer, Simon Kuf, that even if you have that there's an assumption, even if one of the Edim is problematic, but there's an assumption that if you perform a wedding, there are Kasher Edim there, yeah, that's why you're Orthodox Rabbi, it's a Misad of Gdushin. But if it's a Reform Rabbi officiating, there are no Chazakos, and there's no presumption that the halacha was performed, that the wedding was performed in a halachically acceptable fashion. So this is relevant. This is not something that you're going to pass it on your own. If you have a shayla as to whether a get is mikra denesei from previous marriage, this comes up one of two ways. You might be dealing with a question of the person who's coming, asking to be misar kedushin, and you discover that they were previously married to another Jew, and there was a civil divorce, but there's no get. They're both not religious people. They couldn't care less about a get, but now they're asking to be misar kedushin for a second wedding. So you have to direct them to do a proper get. If it's impossible, the Bez makes a determination that for whatever reason it's impossible for the get to happen, so then Bezin could make a determination based on its investigation of the circumstances of the wedding that there are grounds for hetter nisuvin even without a get, but that's a case-by-case determination based on the specifics of the case at hand.
I thought we said that you have to specify the other Edom because you don't include the other people in the room as Edom, because if, let's say, there's one unkosher Edom, then it'll pass the old Edom.
So you're asking about Nimzach of Garba Pasol. So that, we'll talk about that in a second. So this could be relevant, the status of a civil marriage or a marriage performed by a non-halachic clergyman, that could be relevant if you're asking to officiate at a second wedding, where the first wedding wasn't yet dissolved in a halachically acceptable fashion. Or it's relevant where you have a potential mamzeru shayla, hetero lokal shayla of the child of the second marriage, where the first marriage may have been performed by, may have only been a civil ceremony or a non-halachic ceremony. So again, Bez would have to make a determination that the first marriage was performed in a halachically invalid fashion, and therefore the child from the second marriage is going to be mutter lakal. So Michael is asking about Nimsa Echa Karva Pasol. Right, that's the Gemara Makos and Daf Vav. And if you have a Kas of Edim and you determine that one of the Edim is Pasol, so then you knock out the entire Kas. So let's say you had Seder Kedushin. And you have two Edim that are called up to be the Edei Kedusha. And one of the Edim is Mechal Shabbos. But there were 100 other Shomer Shabbos in the room. So is that a halachically valid... that halachically valid wedding. So Michael is referring to the famous Ritva in Kedushin and Daf Mem Gimel that recommends being dafka miyachid edim, because if you're not going to be miyachid edim, maybe according to Rav, if you're not going to be miyachid edim, maybe we run into the problem of nimsa achakar v'basel, that if there are other edim sulam or kovim in the room, then there wouldn't be valid edis. Some have such a chumra, but that's not what's reflected in Shulchan Aruch necessarily. In Simon Mem Beis of Dalid, the Mechaber writes, Simon Mem Beis of Dalid, Mkidesh Mifne Eidim Afilo Amratem Eidim Bibideshas. So even if you're not Miyachid Eidim, the Kedushin is a good Kedushin. And the Ramah says, Afilo Yichid Eidim Yecholim Acherim Shavah Maitzalai. Even if you're Miyachid Eidim, so that doesn't mean that other people can't say Eidus Shuvitz Harivash. What about this, Shaila? So you were Miyachid Edim, and one of the Edim is determined to be a Karva Pasul. So there's a famous Jew of the Chasam Sofer called Pitzka Tshuva. The Chasam Sofer is in Eben Ezra Simon Kuf. Aben Ezer Simin Kof. That even if you're Miyachid Edim, the intent of being Miyachid Edim is that you want the Kiddushin to be performed in a halachically valid fashion. So if it turns out that one of the Edim was apostle, so you wanted whoever the Kasher Eid to function as the Kasher Eid, because you wanted the Kiddushin to take place in a halachically valid fashion. So even if one of the Edim that's up there is an Eid Kiddushin as apostle, if you have other Edim to share in the room, the Kiddushin is halachically valid. And that's what Rav Schechter says. And the Rav said, even in such a case, there's no need to do another Kiddushin L'chumrah. Meaning you had your wedding, and then you found out after the fact that there's that one of the Edim is a apostle. So should you do L'chumrah, should you be Choshesh, that maybe the Kiddushin wasn't good Kiddushin because one of the Edim because it was a apostle, so maybe you should do another Kiddushin L'chumrah. So Rav Schechter said, the Rav said, no need to do it even L'chumrah. Rav Avadia made famous Shuvah the Mari Vayil. The Mari Vayil is in Siman Zayin, and Rav Avadia thinks that the Mari Vayil is correct, that a lot of Yishan hold at the Mari Vayil, even if it doesn't make it explicit into Shulchan Aruch, and it's against the Chasam Sofer. The Mari Vayil writes, in that case, where you're Miyachi to Edom, one of the Edom is found to be a apostle, so then the whole Kiddushin is invalid. So you have an Orthodox rabbi being beside a Kiddushin, you have two Edom there under the Chuppah, then you have 100 other from people in the audience, they all see the Mitzvah at Abbas, but you're Miyachid to Edom, and it turns out one of them is a Machal Shabbos, turns out one of them cheats on his income taxes, so then the whole Kiddushin is no good. So Rav Avadia has a few printed Shuvahs in which he says it's in the context of Mamzerus. The case of trying to be matter the child of the second marriage, and he made a determination that the first marriage was halachically invalid, even though it was done by an Orthodox rabbi, and they're all from people, but one of the Edom was found to be a apostle. So in Rav Avadia's Shuvah, as we'll see in a few minutes, by Mamzer, Savi Mamzer's Mutter. So Mamzer is a little bit more cow, because Savi Mamzer's Mutter. So Rav Avadia in the printed Shuvah talks about this in the context of Mamzer's alone. Would he even have said that for an Eishes Ish? Would you be matter an Eishes Ish without a get in a case where it's impossible to procure a get because one of the Kedushim is about to be Mechal Shabbos? So in the printed Shuvah, Rav Avadia doesn't have this. We had a case a number of years ago of a woman who was having great difficulty procuring a get from her husband, from people, and there really wasn't any good Eitza, and someone who was helping her did a little bit of research and made a determination that one of the two, they were Miyachid Edim under the Chuppah, it was an Orthodox rabbi, an Orthodox rabbi, Miyachid Edim under the Chuppah, and one of the Edim was a Michal Shabbos, they didn't know at the time, and they brought Edim who knew him to Michal Shabbos, so we had Gedias Edis Bifnei Bezdin, that he was a Michal Shabbos. So that's his machlokas, that's his Mari Vayil. So for Rav Avadia, the print only said in the context of Mamzerus. So I wanted to know what Rav Avadia would say, Rav Avadia is still alive, what Rav Avadia would say that we even be matter in Eishes Ish in that case, so I assume not. So I corresponded with Rav Avadia, one of his grandchildren, Rav Avadia said Toledano, tremendous Talmud Chacham, prolific author. He's written like 7 Sfarim now, he's my age. So I built up a pen pal, email pal with him over the years. I met him last year for the first time in person. So we sent him the shaila to ask his grandfather, and his grandfather passed in the email in Eishes Ish that you rely on this Mari Vayil in that case, and be mad to the woman without a get. So then we were. That's his Masorah for the Mari Vayil. And the Masorah in this yeshiva is based on the Chasam Sofer and the Rav that we don't assume the way. So we were reluctant. We passed on the information that Rav Avadia was matter, but we were reluctant to give the psak ourselves because that's against the Masorah here. And then Rav Avadia wrote a letter to Rabbi Willig saying that he should accept his psak because he thought the psak was correct. There's a whole major event.
It's printed in
that sefer. I'm not sure if that's printed. This is his sefer Chuvas. He has a few that he wrote to us. I don't think of Avadia saved to Ladano. He has three volumes on Kinyanim we have in the Bezer room upstairs. He has a volume on the Chiyus Chametz and a volume on... He wrote a whole sefer about this case. Right, it's not here. He wrote a sefer afterwards. Mishpat Eidus. He wrote a whole sefer about this case. I have it at all.
Did the yeshiva
in the Pesachim have Sakh? The yeshiva? The yeshiva is not a
Bezin.
I mean, the
Bezin. And
Bezin. We communicated what Ravadi said, but she wasn't asked to pass on information. I honestly don't know what happened in the end. Okay. So, the din is.
Why couldn't you just say
Sakhadur Mavadya? You matter Ashish? So the Dabra Khamra mode.
Right, but so I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I
mean, if you have like a das, like
if
you have like, you know, like a das,
yeah,
you wouldn't go.
You okay, so let's say the first marriage was halachically that, back to our question of the product of a second marriage, but there was no get from the first marriage. So let's say the first marriage was halachically valid marriage, and there was no get. No halachically valid get. So, for starters, the din is the Gemara in Asar Yuchsin, Ayin Aleph, Ayin Gimel, Ayin Vav, that there's a notion of Safik Mamzer Mutter. There's a notion of mishpacha shenitma nitma. That if you have someone, you have a family where there's some chashash, that there might have been some amzeira somewhere back in the genes, but we don't know what happened to that mamzer, and everyone got mixed together and married, so then mishpacha shenitma nitma. The Rosh Hashanah is fond of quoting Rebbe Chaim, the Kovetz Aras, in Siman Nun Ches, commenting on the nature of Safik Mamzer Mutter. That Rebbe Chana goes to Ran at the end of the first parak of Kedushin about Safek Orla B'chosaris. So the way the Ran presents Rebbe Chana's presentation, the Ran of Safek Orla B'chosaris. Safek Orla B'chosaris means that it's a heter b'toris vada. Meaning that if there is a suffix as to whether this is orla, so I'm allowed to eat it b'toras vada. You don't have to be choshish for anything, unless I know for sure that this is vada orla. So the way Rebbe Chana presents that is, let's say I happen to know that this is vada orla, but you don't know. I have no obligation to tell you that it's orla. Because you're fully within your right, because the Sadek Orla B'chutzar is to eat this fruit, and I have no obligation to tell you otherwise. That's the nature of Sadek Orla B'chutzar. So Rosh Hashanah points out the analogy here is true by Avelis as well. That's by in terms of Yedia by Avelis, so a person's only obligated to practice Avelis if he knows that he's an Avel, if he knows that a car passed away. So the way Rosh Hashanah always says the Mashal is I know that your father just passed away, but you don't know, so I'm allowed to pick you up and take you to a wedding and dance with you at the wedding, and I have to tell you that your father passed away. That might not be a good idea, but that's the nature of that kind of a suffix as well, that as long as you don't know, what you don't know doesn't hurt you. So Rebbe Chana says the same thing is true by suffix manser, that even if I know full well that you're a manser, as long as you don't know, then I don't have to tell you. And you're allowed to get remarried. You're allowed to get married without restriction, and I have no obligation to disclose that information. It's usually not a good idea because these things are milsa davidi lagluye. And then if you find out after you got remarried, then it's going to be a lot worse. So that's usually not a good idea. But sometimes this is relevant. I had a case not so long ago where we were dealing with a complicated get case in Eretz Yisrael, and we were delivering the get in New York, which had been sent from Eretz Yisrael. So I don't remember if this was when we were delivering it or when we first met with the woman. And Rabbi Gamliel from the Rabbi Gamliel is the head of the Chutzlar's desk of the Agatha Gunot of the Rabbanut HaRashit. So he was in our office that day, and we were talking to this woman, and then I stepped out, and Rabbi Gamliel came out to me a few minutes later, and he was shaking. that he was just schmoozing with this young lady who was receiving the get and her mother, and totally mistake lefitum. The mother told the story that her mother had been a survivor, and her mother was married before the war, and she believed that her the mother believed that her husband had passed away, and then she came to America after the war and she remarried, and then years later Baharik Barakov, so the husband that for years she thought had been killed in the war was alive, and she had already remarried and had children. So she has no nemats. She has no nemats to possible children. She was totally misled with Pituma, but she has no nemats.
Why does she have
nemats? You don't have nemats to possible. A father has nemats yakir, but a woman. So father has nemats to say that Debbie answer, but a mother doesn't have such nemats. That's a special din of yakir. A father, just like he can identify his subchor. He can identify either positively or negatively his children, but a mother has no nemanus to say that her children, her child's apostle. Now, if we have objective evidence, then that's a different issue. Or if we're worried that we're going to find the objective evidence, so then we're not relying on her nemanus. But if it's only her representation, she has no nemanus apostle. That's Sibin Dalid. I should have told you to bring an Ebenezer with you. That's Simon Dalid. If Kaftes. Eishes Isha Meris Al Ugr Sheidam Mibayla Eina Nemanis of Paslo. Abalaav Shomer Al Ugr Sheidam Menu O Echa Mibadam Sheidam Bino Naman Lepaslo Vuman Zervada. The mother has no Nemanis. Okay. So, called Rabbi Willard. Look, what is the likelihood? This woman is representing what happened decades ago. What is the likelihood that anyone, that two Eidim are going, she has done a month, so you'd have to have two Eidim come and testify about this whole story. So what's the likelihood that 60 years later you're going to have two Eidim? Is anyone alive that knows about this? And the woman's mother, the grandmother's not alive anymore. So is there, it's almost impossible that anyone is going to come to say first in ages that they know this to be the story. So, Savi Mazur Mutter, there's no need to investigate further because it's almost an impossibility that anyone's going to come with first hand knowledge that's going to possible. But most of the cases we deal with are more contemporary, so this generation. So then, and even if the mother has no nemanus to tell the story, you have to, someone else could come and other information can come back, so you have to deal with that. So what other options are there for dealing with such situations where there's a second marriage, a child's a product of a second marriage, and the first marriage was halachically valid but wasn't dissolved in a halachically acceptable situation? Mamzerus, we know, is only created through a relationship where there's no tefisas kedushin, but a relationship that the chayvei krisus or chayvei misas bezdin. If the father is not Jewish, so then there's no mamzerus. Mamzerus is the only problem if it's an eishes ish with a Jewish father. So under what circumstances do you have the right to assume or the right to believe that the father might be non-Jewish, even the representation is otherwise? Sifkaftes, the Mechaber writes from the Rambam.
Which
seven is this? Simon Dalit Sifkaftes. So the woman claims that the father is a Goy or an Eved, a Vlad Kasher. Shein ebal yavo l'achisha b'zeh. So she's married to husband A. She's married to her husband. And there's an allegation that she's pregnant. The husband claims, I'm not the father. So the mother claims that the husband's not the father, she has no nemanus. The father claims he's not the father, he has no nemanus. But if she claims, Bigoyim, may have been a sabarati of Lot Kasher, she'ena bal yachal achisha b'zeh. So the father's nemanus to say, I'm not the father. Okay, I'm not the father, who is? So if the mother says nothing, and the father says, I'm not the father, so then we would be choshesh that the father is another Jew and there's manzeres. If the mother claims that Bigoyim is sabarati, then she has nemanus. However, the Mishmuel says, that what do you see? That's only if she claims Migoyne Sabarti. But we don't say Tanina. She doesn't say anything, so it sounds like we don't forward the claim that Migoyne Sabra. That's the Torah. But the Rambam, Paraktes Vav Yutas, Yisri Bia, writes, no, he's Becheska's Mamzer. Maybe Migoyne Sabra. Let's say she says nothing. Please, a fifth. In some of the cases, in most of the cases, she already remarried. She wasn't aware of this issue. So she says, yeah, the child is from the second husband. She's simply married to the second husband. And she says the child's from the second husband. Let's say she didn't say that. She wasn't remarried. She had the child. So the Tshuva Skalkas Yaakov, in the new printing, Eben Ezra Siman Yud Aleph Vos Gimel, Eben Ezra Siman Yud Aleph Vos Gimel. So he says, maybe it depends. Maybe it depends on where you live. He says, in Poland and Russia, where the Jews live in their own communities, in the ghetto, and their only connection with the non-Jews are in business, but they have no common anything, and almost no contact. So then, Chazal was talking about the opposite case, the child of a Shisuki. In our case, it would be better if the father was Jewish. In our case, it would be better if the father was a non-Jew. A Shisuki, it might be better if the father is a Jew. Although there may be a Chashash Mamzeres there, But he says, so if you're living in the ghetto, so then there's no real chashash that Miss Abra Meyakub. But now, in the society we live in the Western world, where there's such assimilation and such contact between Jews and non-Jews, people go to the same universities and the same schools, and they're in business together, and they're living in the same neighborhoods, and everyone's so connected. So then you would have to be choshesh, or it could be choshesh, that the father is a nachri. He's talking about a case where it's worse to have the father a nachri. In our case, it would be better if the father is a nachri.
Is it for the father if the his father's an Ofri, then...
The father's an Ofri, then you're Ofri. There's not much there.
Right, but...
In our case.
No, but in his case.
In his case, so then that's relevant, let's say, Lekahuda. So if the father's an Ofri, then it would be Yasser Lekuna. If you're trying to establish Mishpachas Miyuchasas... So she was Chasson Sofer, Evan Ezra Simon Tess, that wherever the Jews have their own ghetto, their own neighborhood, and there's no real contact with Nachrim, and they lock the doors at night, so then there's no reasonable explanation as to how a Jewish girl would be nivul alakum. Yashav is a tshuva, chelak aleph simen kufim aleph. Comes tshuva, chelak aleph simen kufim aleph. That was that then, and nowadays things are different. So Rav Avadia has a number of tshuvas in which he, basically in almost every situation, even in a case where the woman represents that the father is, let's say, her second Jewish husband, Rav Avadia still says he can be tola on a nachri in most situations. So, number one, the Rebbe has a number of arguments. Number one, he quotes a flood. The flood is Perish on Chumash. Perish on Chumash is called the Panim Yafos. So this is on Vayikra Paragat Chas Pasuk Tes. So the flood makes the following comment that I think no one knew about until Rebbe Avadia made it famous. That we have a principle of Rovilosalabal. So you have the right to assume, absent contrary information, that if a woman's pregnant, you have the right to assume that the father is her husband. So how do you apply that in this case? A woman is halakhically married with her first husband, they had a proper chuppah kiddushin, and the marriage is done without a get, and then she civilly remarried a second husband. Okay? And now she has a child years later. So what does Rabbi Yilasei Sobal tell you? Who's the father? So I would have said Rabbi Yilasei Sobal is a function of how she views herself, that she views herself, in this case, being married to the second husband. She doesn't see herself as married in any way to the first husband because they had a civil divorce. So Rabbi Yilasei Sobal would tell you that the halachic father is the second husband. So the Afla says no. The Afla says that Rabbi Yilasei Sobal is a halachic concept. It's not a function of who you have the most bios with. Because after all, we say Rabbi Yilasei Sobal even if you're married for one day. So it's not a function. I would have said the Panim Yafos, it's a function of who do you have the most bios with. But that's not true, because we say Rabbi Yilasei Sobal even you're married for one day, so you just met your husband. What? It's a low plug. What does it mean, Rov Yilasei Sobal? Says the flaw. Rov Haniv Olos Hei Mibalei. It's not a function of her bios. It's Rov, the women that are Nivolos, are Nivolos from their husbands. But that's a halachic concept. So she's still halachically married to her first husband. And now she's civilly married to the second husband, but that relationship is bizarre. There's no tefisas kedushin. So that's not a baal. So you can't tell me Rov Bilas Eitzel has a baal. So Rov Bilas Eitzel HaBaal tells you, if anything, the first husband, that's her lachid baal. The way the Afla says it, at least the Afla says, you should be told that she's decided from someone else who doesn't have a karis. So why assume that she's an Avra from the Issacharis, assume that it's from someone else who's another Issacharis. So Rav Avadia likes this Afla. That the Rov Yilasei Eitzel Halachi Baal, so you have the right to assume that even if they're living in different countries, maybe. Maybe they came back to visit once. And the righteous and wrote people say to Allah Bibal. So if you look in Yabi Omer Chelatesim and Vav, Chelatesim and Vav, he writes that he's Mitzarif this Afla Lamaisa in a case that came in front of the Beit Din HaGadol together with Rav Jolti. And they were matir on the basis Mitzirif of the Afla. So that's one consideration that Rav Avadi has. You say Rav Yilos Eitzel Ha'alachi Ba'al. That's a very big Kiddush. So Vadia relies on that as a factor. And then the other thing that Rav Avadi relies on heavily is the notion of Trey Rubi. So that you have in Ksubis in the second parak, that if you have a double Rav, so if you just have one Rav, you have to take into consideration Kavua. If you have a double Rav, so then you don't have to worry about Kavua. So the Gemara there is talking about a different context. The Gemara there has Rav Ir and Rav Sia. So if Rav of the people who live in the city are non-Jews, and Rav of the people that come and visit the city are non-Jews, so that's called Trey Rubi. So Rav Adi assumes in a number of Chuvas, for example, Chelech Yud Simen Vav, Chelech Yud Simen Vav, he has this, there are a few Chuvas between Chelech Es, Chelech Tes, Chelech Yud, about similar cases. Rav Adi assumes in these situations that if you're in a place where Rav, the Rav Ir and Rav Sia are not here. So if you're in America, so anywhere you go, maybe outside of New Square, the Rav of the Rav of the people who live here are in any neighborhood are non-Jewish. The Rav of the visitors are non-Jewish. So you have the right to assume that that the father is a Nachri, that the Rav are Nachri. So even if she tells you the father is a Jew, she has no nemanus. It's a problem if you ask the first husband. The first husband says Zayn Abedi, so that could make things worse. So when we've met with people under these circumstances and parents to try to get to the bottom of a complicated situation, sometimes we'll tell the husband to walk out. So we don't want him to say anything that's going to incriminate the wrong people, that would make things worse. Because the father sometimes has nemanus of yakir, both for good or for bad. So it says you have the right to rely on the Rav Ir and the Rav Sia. He writes, look, this woman, the fact that the woman is mafkir herself, Yisrael Shiz Ish, without a get, so it means that she's not so concerned about halachically acceptable relationships. So by the same token, she's mafkir herself, Lunafri. So it can be Tola on the Rav. Yashiv isn't as emphatic as Rav Avadi, but he, on some level, is willing to entertain, under certain circumstances, such an approach as well. In Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Mem Gimel, right, in a place where the woman is known to be married halachically, and then there's no get. So even if she goes and lives with someone else, then there's no chazak or vobila seitzel about. Never knows that she's Mizana. But then you can say, Kishem Shizin Sim Zek Hatsim Samacher. That's what the Rambam has. Kishem Shizin Sim Zek Hatsim Sim Samacher. So, okay. So she's telling you that the second husband is the father. How do you know? If she's Mizana with this guy, she claims that no, she's civilly married to this guy. They have a proper marriage. But it's not a luckily proper marriage. So she's mezana with this guy, maybe she's mezana with someone else also, maybe she's also mezana with the Nachri, and she has no nemanus to say that this is the father. So that consistently was Rav Avadi's position in such cases that Kishen Shizim Sim Zek Hasin Sim Akri, you have Trey Rubi, as Rabbi Tzvi Ben Yaakov told me once, he's one of the seniors of Yonim Tel Aviv, according to Rav Avadi, there's no such thing as Mamzeus in America. No Mamzeus, of course, there is, because always Rav Rav Yir and Rav Sia. It's always Rav Nachum. So there were a couple of cases. cases that Rabbi Toledano has here in his Sefer, which is a product of conversations and correspondences, that's some cases like this, where we weren't comfortable issuing a heter because, again, we don't have this case also, this tradition of Rov Yerovsia, of Geshem Shizim, Zek Afton, Sinatra, it flies in the face of reality. And that's, Stam, a methodological question, as I pointed out, and many issues is a machlokas in worldview between Rav Shechter and Rav Asher Weiss. Are we concerned about halachic reality or mitzvah's reality? Sometimes halachic reality flies in the halachic concepts fly in the face of mitzvah. So Rav Shechter is more of the orientation. We know for a fact it's clear who the father is. So how can you use halachic gymnastics to tell me the father is someone else? It's clear. And Rav Asher would say he has Jewish in the Chelak Al Nichas Asher, but similar cases also. He has other cheshbanos that no, there are halachic principles that tell you have the right to be tola nachri, so you can be tola nachri. So we had cases where we weren't comfortable issuing tzak on our own, and we sent this shayla to Rav Avadia to his grandson. His grandson wrote a very nice tshuva, and he gave his grandfather wrote a few lines on the bottom with his haskama. And then usually we try to get a few tshuvas from other people also to be masked, and we send out such psak. But not every case is all that easy. It's not pashut that we would agree with this malach. Stop here for today, and tomorrow we'll try to finish up some of the other related issues of Chana and Baris Menachas Chavero, some of the other things to look out for in determining eligibility for marriage. And how many of you will be here next week? And so next week we'll talk more about the actual execution of Ksuv and things that go on another way. Okay.
What time is coming tomorrow?
What time? Russell, you want to leave the last word? Let's see, 6. Have it 5 o'clock? Okay. Alright, so it'll be another 5 o'clock tomorrow.